Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. It is good and right that we should gather in this place on this morning to celebrate and rejoice in the risen Christ. But I gotta tell you, it's been one hell of a holy week. Now, I know some of you are ready to walk out. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm actually being literal about that. For those who have been coming to each of the liturgies of Holy Week, starting last Sunday with Palm Sunday, and then through the week to the Triduum on Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, when we gathered for an agape meal over in the parish house and a Eucharist, and then processed over to the church with the elements that were left over from our Eucharist, the consecrated elements, and we brought them to place in the ombre. And here in the church, with the lights dim low, we, with Christ, turned our faces towards the cross. We heard, chanted, and joined in Psalm 22, that psalm that helps us to really understand the cross of Christ. It's the psalm that he references when he is being crucified, the one that begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? And really gets to the heart of what Holy Week is about. So those who have traveled along through Holy Week know what I'm talking about. It is as Christ says to Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane, now is your time and the power of darkness. You see, I think what happens is we think about hell, if we think about it at all, as being some place that people go when they die. Not, of course, ourselves. But, you know, we've probably all got a list of people we'd like to consign there, right? It's not a place for us, but, you know, that neighbor, the one who always borrows stuff and never gives it back, maybe he'll end up there. Or that neighbor who never quite keeps his lawn trimmed right and all his flowers, maybe he'll end up there. You know, or if you've heard the news this morning about the explosives set off in the churches in Sri Lanka, maybe the people who did that, maybe they end up there. But that's the way we think about hell. We think about hell as this place for people to go to. All the people we think have done such bad things that they deserve it. Not ourselves, but others. It's a place for people to go to. But what Christ says is that it is not a place that people go to, but the power and pall of death over this world, the reign of death and decay, of destruction, of sin and sickness, of tragedy in this world. The fact that it seems that if you look around, that perhaps Satan has the upper hand. That's what it means to talk about hell, says Christ, when he says to Judas, as Judas gives him a kiss to betray him, now is your time and the power of darkness. That is the power of hell. That is the power of death. And so for those who have walked through the Holy Week liturgies and have heard the story of Christ's final week, his passion, where he suffers where he's denied and betrayed by friends, where the darkness seems to come in and surround him and overwhelm him, when he ends up on a cross. For those who have walked through that and taken that story into themselves and heard it as their story, they know what it means to say that Holy Week has been hell. But there's another sense, I think, in which we can say it this particular year. Because Holy Week started off with a fairly tragic event. I know I'm not the only one who watched on the news earlier in the week as the Cathedral of Notre Dame de Paris burned. Did y'all watch that too? I know friends who were moved to tears by watching that. It was so painful to see this church burning as if the fires of hell had sprung up to consume it. And for those who are a little bit more tuned into the news, they probably also couldn't help but think about the churches in Louisiana, which had also burned, in that case, by the hand of an arsonist. 3 historic black churches in Louisiana that also seemed to have the fires of hell spring up to consume them as they were preparing to celebrate the most joyous day of the church's liturgical calendar, Easter Sunday. And now, as I mentioned, we wake up this morning to hear the news of these churches in Sri Lanka, where again, the fires of hell have burst forth from explosives, not only to destroy these buildings, but to take the lives of worshipers. It has been a hell of a Holy Week. And yet we gather here on this morning in spite of that and shout Alleluia. We gather in finery and in a little bit of pomp. We gather surrounded by flowers and by these great symbols of life and springtime. And we shout Alleluia. And we sing joyously. And this is good and right. I'm definitely not trying to make you feel bad about that. We should be here. We should be doing this. We should, because Christ has been raised from the dead. Christ is risen. So we absolutely should be gathered here in this way, despite the hell that is around us. Because we know that hell has no more dominion over this earth because Christ has been raised. We know that this power and pall of death that we see around us, that we see every time a family member or a friend succumbs to death. We see in our own bodies as we age, that we see in the world when people do things that are absolutely horrible, that though this looks like it's the truth, there is a greater truth. There is a deeper truth. There is a more everlasting and eternal truth, which is that Jesus Christ is risen. And death has no power over him. And if death has no power over Christ, then death has no power over us, because we are in Christ and we live by his Spirit. The Spirit of life that cannot be contained in the grave. Have y'all seen the pictures of Notre Dame since the fire was put out? It's incredible how much survived. And though certainly parts of it, important parts, were destroyed, the high altar still stands. The high altar with its cross, its altar cross, it still stands. And have you seen the statue that adorns that high altar? Do you know what it is? It's the Pietà. It's Mother Mary, Notre Dame, Our Lady, cradling her dead son. It's that image, such a powerful icon in our faith, of Christ who has been crucified but not yet buried, taken down, and his body given over to his mother. The same mother who held him as a baby. The same mother who swaddled him and nursed him and held him close to her now holds the body, the broken body, the defeated body, the dead body of her son. And you think, how can any good come of this? Isn't this just the image of hell? Isn't this just the image of the power and pall of death? Isn't this just the image of decay and of evil and sin? This mother who has had her son torn away from her in a violent and tragic death. Isn't this just hell? And we wonder, like the prophet Ezekiel, like the words of the Lord to the prophet Ezekiel, can these bones live? Or has death won? But we know that death has not won. We know that death does not reign. We know that heaven is more real than hell because Jesus Christ was raised today. And he was raised for us and for our salvation, just as he was crucified for that very reason. He was raised so that we no longer need to fear death and hell, because he has gone down into hell and has harrowed it. He has burst forth from it. He has taken death captive. He has trampled down death by death. He has saved us from the power of sin and death and hell by dying for us, by taking hell into his body, and by being broken by it and yet restored by his Father, to make his Father our Father, and his God our God, and his life our life, and his Spirit our Spirit. That is what we do when we gather on this day and celebrate in this way. We celebrate that we no longer live to sin and death, because we no longer live to ourselves alone, but we live in and through and for Christ Jesus, who lived and died and was raised for us and for our salvation. So that death is not the final word, but life. And not just life as we know it, but glorified everlasting life. Life in Christ, life in the everlasting and all-encompassing love of God the Father in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Notre Dame will be rebuilt. There's already hundreds, maybe thousands of people who are donating to have it rebuilt. And actually, in its long history from the 12th century to today, it has gone through periods of restoration and rebuilding. That is the nature of things. That is the nature of this world that is still in the thralls of sin and death, that even the good things that we build slowly succumb to decay, to the ravages of time, to death. And so we spend our lives trying to store up, trying to work hard to store up whatever life we can against this death and decay. And it may seem at times that this is a futile work, that the works of our hands ultimately have no meaning. But Easter Sunday tells us otherwise. Easter Sunday tells us that the good deeds which we have done, those works which God has prepared for us to walk in, that these are not simply meaningless gestures in a meaningless world, but they will be taken up. They will be taken up into his new creation. And so that is my final point and final message this morning. When Jesus Christ was raised, he was raised bodily, and so too will we be. Now, we may not know exactly what that means, but we know that it is in our bodies that we are raised. We proclaim this in the creed. It is preached through the words of Scripture. It's not about airy spirits leaving bodies behind to go off to some other place. No, that's not God's hope for this world. That's not what Christ and his resurrection represent. They represent a new creation, a restoration of this world, and not just a restoration to the way that it's been, like Notre Dame will be restored to the way that it was, but a glorification and restoration, that is, being taken up into a new being, a new creation that God has already begun in this world with Jesus Christ and his resurrection. That is why we say in the psalm that the same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Christ, who is crucified, this broken body that was held by its mother after being taken down from the cross, did not remain to molder in the tomb, but was lifted up by God and glorified, raised, and made new, the chief cornerstone of a new cathedral, the chief cornerstone of a new temple, the chief cornerstone of a new creation, that is God's kingdom in this world, the restoration of this world to all that God hopes it can be and will be. The restoration of this world to all God intends for it to be. A world infused and suffused with his Holy Spirit, transformed and transfigured, glorified and raised up. And we get to participate in that because Christ has saved us from sin and death and hell and made us citizens of heaven even now, in this life. So that we can say that we are raised with him and that death has no power over us because it had no power over him. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Oh my goodness, let's try that one last time. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Amen.